You're listening to the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl, a community and education platform that empowers parents and caretakers to foster independence, leadership, and strong personal identity in girls so they can change the world. Now, here is the founder and your host, Maria Fuller.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raising a Powerful Girl. I'm the founder and your host, Maria Fuller. Before we get started, let's make sure you know where to find me. You can find more information about our education and community platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com. And you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Raising a Powerful Girl. Make sure to connect with us on social media to find out our latest news, learn tips and tricks, submit your questions, and continue our enlightening conversations. And now let's get on with today's show. There's a great quote, if you think you can or you can't, you're right. In parenting, this goes even further. If you tell your daughter she can be anything and do anything if she puts her mind to it, my first question to you is, are you living this truth? The reality is, and science shows us, that it doesn't matter what we say to girls, it's what we do. So if we truly want girls to believe this, we need to make darn sure that we're modeling this behavior, and this applies to all aspects of parenting. My guest today is Amanda Lynn Webb. Amanda Lynn is a mindset and confidence coach for women who are serious about creating a life they love. She's spent years working on her own mindset and overcoming her limiting beliefs and is passionate about helping other women do the same. She helps lots of women get out of their own way and create actionable plans to achieve their goals and create lives that they're obsessed with. She strives to live her life by the motto, if it's not fun, you're not doing it right. Amanda Lynn shares that she has mirrored so much of what she saw in her own childhood. And as an adult, she realized what a profound and detrimental impact that it had on her mindset. She spent years rewriting the limiting beliefs that were cemented during her childhood. And she wants parents to realize the effects that their actions have on their children. Children are going to pay more attention to what you're doing rather than what you're saying. And in order to raise a strong girl, your words have to match your actions. Well, welcome, Amanda Lynn. I'm so happy to have you here today, and I'm really excited about our conversation because your topic is something that really is the core of one of my beliefs, and we're going to talk today a little bit about mindset and modeling behavior and the impact that that can have on girls, and I really love that you had shared with me previously a little bit of your background and story, and so I would love for you to share with our listeners a little bit about your background and why this is something that's so important to you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, Maria. I'm so excited to be here. I didn't realize how much modeling behavior and, you know, my childhood in general had had an effect on me until I was an adult. And several years ago, I dove headfirst into personal development. And it wasn't until I really started working on myself and some of the blocks that I had that I realized so many of them came from my childhood and from watching how my mom acted and made her way through life and how my parents interacted and those sorts of things. So it really opened my eyes and made me aware of how much what not only we say, but more so what we do has an effect on children. And now I'm a coach and I see it every single day with my clients. And also just in my life, I hear, you know, women saying different things about the way they speak to their children or things that they do in front of their children. And I don't think a lot of people realize what an impact that has on children, especially girls.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think it's so hard because there's so many different factors that come into play with why we say what we say, but why we do what we do. And it's really such a topic that can be kind of taken apart piece by piece. What do you think for you maybe was your first memory of your mother doing something that contradicted what she was saying that left an impact on you later on as an adult?
Maria, honestly, like one of the biggest things that, you know, at the time I didn't realize, and even like I said, until I started this journey on my own, I didn't realize that it had an effect on me. One thing that my mother always said that I think a lot of moms say to their daughters is you can be anything you want. You can do anything you want in life. You could have anything you want in life. You can create your dream life if you want to. And she said these things to me. However, she wasn't going for it in her own life. She was playing so small and holding herself back so much. And I learned that from watching her, despite all of the things she told me about my ability to create this awesome, amazing life for myself.
Wow. That's such a great example, because so many things come up for me when you say something like that, right? You know, having been an entrepreneur for the last 10 years myself, and I've run multiple businesses, I've gone through multiple business cycles in front of my girls. And, you know, right now I'm at the beginning of another startup launch up business. And it's, you know, something that I've been working on for a long time, and it's very near and dear to my heart. And I was having a breakdown moment the other day with my husband in the office, and we have a couple beanbag chairs. My husband and I co-share an office, and my oldest came in, and she just kind of sat on the beanbag chair and listened to me vent to my husband. So I was venting to him my challenges, my frustrations, why I was upset. There were some tears, and I got really emotional. And my daughter looked at me and she said, "Mama, that was a great speech." And I was like, she's like, "I'm a little nervous about what you're saying, though. Are you going to give up? Are you going to stop doing this, Mama?" And I said, "No." I said, "This is just something I have to do sometimes. It, you know, sometimes you just need someone that you can talk to about where you're frustrated, and where you're having challenges." I said, and what I'm doing right now is really difficult, you know, on a lot of ways. It's hard on my heart. It's a lot of work, and I'm very tired. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge, but this is what I want to do. And I think what happens for so many women is that they tell their daughters this, you can be anything, you can do anything. And they don't go out and do it because of their own limiting beliefs, or because they're afraid sometimes to show these things. They don't want to show their daughters that they're struggling or that they're having a hard time, because they think that's going to affect them in a poor way. Where the reality is, the more your girls see that you struggle and have challenges and watch you overcome them, the better they're going to learn to do that themselves.
Completely. And I think it's so great that you are able to show that side of yourself to your girls, because not only are you showing them that you have this problem, have this struggle, and overcome it and come out a better, stronger woman on the other side, you're also teaching them that they don't have to be perfect, that life isn't, you know, la-di-da perfect 100% of the time, that you're going to have struggles and life is going to be uncomfortable sometimes. And that's okay. That doesn't make them broken, or that doesn't mean they're doing something wrong. That's okay to have struggles and to be going through a difficult time.
Yeah, so much. I agree with so much of that. So talk to me a little bit about some of the women that you coach. What are some of the common problems that they're facing? And let's talk about a little bit of that and how that might relate to girls and things that they were raised with or problems, and how we can address that.
Yeah, two of the biggest issues that I help women work through are money issues and self-worth, you know, confidence, body image issues. And so much of those issues stem back to our childhoods, you know. Money, for example, oh my gosh, you, of course, most women are like, "Yeah, I want to make lots of money, you know, send it my way." But we have all these weird hangups and we don't necessarily understand why. And I mean, from my own experience, even, I remember my parents, you know, fighting over money and, you know, us having to scrape by because of money, and my dad never being around because he was always working, having to go make money. So that really, you know, sets into your subconscious and you think, okay, money equals the struggle. Money equals my parents not getting along. Money equals my dad never being around. And that really sends a message to kids that, okay, well, if I do go after money, or if I do try to be successful, I'm not going to be able to be there for my family, or I'm going to be fighting with my spouse or whatever. So it sets this really unhealthy you know, expectation around what it means to be successful and earn money.
Yeah. And I love that you brought up money, because money is something that I like to talk about a lot, especially with girls, because having been a woman entrepreneur, and I've seen a lot of the same things that you've seen, because I work with a lot of other women entrepreneurs, and, you know, money is tied into so much more than just money. Money is, has a huge tie, especially for women, to their self-value and their self-worth. And this isn't just with women entrepreneurs. This is also with women that work in any field. Women are not as likely as a man to go into an office and ask for a raise or push for a raise. Or when interviewing for a job, a woman is more likely to accept the first offer that they're given on a job as opposed to actually negotiating that. And they're limiting what they're making. And, you know, when we talk about women in, you know, in business getting to the C-level and V-level positions, and we all talk about how it's so unfair and women need to get that more. You know, I think part of that problem is women aren't pushing for it, and they're not pushing for it because of their mindset, because of their self-worth. And we need to start switching to talk about money as a tool instead
exactly.
of money being, you know, having all these other feelings.
Yeah, 100%. A lot of times women are terrified to go there, you know? They're terrified to bring up anything about money. I think as a society we are, like, we're always taught that money is like a dirty thing to talk about, you know?
Yeah, nobody talks about their bills or their expenses or how much they make or how much they want to make, right?
Exactly. That's the most important thing, right?
So how much they want to make. I can't tell you how many. I'm a part of an organization called eWomen Network, and the mission of our founder, Sandra Yancey, is to help 1 million women entrepreneurs earn $1 million or more annually in net revenue and live fulfilled lives.
Oh,
and when I
amazing.
Tell people that, their eyes get big. And when I talk to women in business and we're having a conversation about growing their business, getting more clients, and I say to them, and I love saying it now, it's funny for me, because I'll say, and you want to earn at least $1 million a year, right? And I will tell you 9 out of 10 times, they will physically put their hands up and push me away. And to me, that's their subconscious pushing the money away. And almost always what comes out of their mouth is, I don't need $1 million. What am I going to do with that? I don't need that much stuff. It's correlated right away to stuff. And so what I shift is I say, what could you do with that? Who could you help? Who could you serve better? Don't like what's going on in politics? What drives politics? Money. You know, is there an organization you love that you would love to help? You know, a nonprofit, what do they need? Money. And what I feel is that women, we should try to make as much money as we can, because we want change in this world. And money is a huge tool to bring change.
Yes, completely. And I mean, like it or not, you know, that's the way our society is set up. Money does equal power. And if we do want to have the power to fuel these changes, like you said, we have to make as much as we can so that we can help those causes that we really believe in, you know?
Yeah. So what are some things that moms should be aware about, or, you know, parents in general or caretakers when they're around girls talking about money? What are some unhealthy things to be saying? What are some healthy examples of things they should be saying or doing?
Some of, like, the biggest no-nos, I believe, when it comes to money is just talking about how poor you are or complaining that there's not enough money. And, I mean, most of the time, that's not even true when people are saying it. You know, most of us are able to pay our bills and things like that. You're not actually poor. I mean, you know, but parents are saying these things, and it's sending that message to girls, and it's really cementing in their brains. And they should also be very conscious about, I mean, I understand that couples are going to fight about money. That happens. It's a reality of life. But be very aware of not doing that in front of your children, because it does send that message that money equals struggle. And I mean, some of the really good things that you can do in front of your children, in front of your girls when it comes to money, is talk about, like you were saying, all the good that you can do with money, all the change that we can create. And one thing that I love is talking about giving back. How can I give back? What causes am I going to be donating to this month? Even if you don't have a lot of money, even if you can only donate like a couple dollars here or there, that sends a wonderful message to girls, I think.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, my daughter's school, they always do around the holidays, instead of doing like a market where you can buy stuff, we do what's called, oh my goodness, it totally escaped me. It's a giving party. And so the mm-hmm. children research different organizations, charitable organizations that have a mission to help something, maybe a town in Africa get clean water or help women in other countries get jobs or employment or healthcare. And they'll research their project and then they'll present it to the community, and you can actually make a charitable donation towards that. And then you get a card back and you can gift that to someone as a gift. We made a contribution to this organization in your name. And what I love is that the kids start that really young, and they'll say, can I have $5? And, you know, my daughter's done that. She's donated, you know, $5, and that was her gift to me and my husband. It came out of her piggy bank. And so what an amazing way to teach her to be a leader and to help and make a change in the world, and how money is actually used positively. So I love that.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. That's such a neat idea too.
Yeah, it's so much better than, you know, because especially like grandparents or older people these days, like there's only so many tchotchkes you can give. And so
exactly.
I always say grandparents love pictures, and do something cool with a charity that you can help a charity, get your child involved with it, and give that as a gift to the grandparent. It's such an amazing way to teach them to help make a difference in the world and use money in a really positive way.
100%.
Yeah, less things to dust on the shelf.
Exactly.
So talk to me, let's talk about limiting beliefs, because we use that word all the time. And a lot of people might not even know what that means.
Yeah, so a limiting belief, a lot of times they stem from our childhood, and they're almost like a thing that protects us, or did protect us at one time. It's this belief that we, you know, gleaned from some experience we had, and we put up this barrier almost. And we can have limiting beliefs around anything, like we're talking about money or body image, you name it, you can have a limiting belief around it. And since a lot of these are in our subconscious mind, we might not even realize that we have these beliefs swimming around in our heads. And then as an adult out in your life, they really hold you back, and you may not be able to obtain the thing that you have the limiting belief around. Like if you have something holding you back around love and relationships, maybe you're always single and you're not able to find yourself in a relationship, or maybe it turns into self-sabotage. So every time you do wind up in a relationship, you do something to mess it all up.
Yeah, I love that. It actually reminds me of a study done by psychologist Carol Dweck, who did a lot of research on girls and mindset and limiting beliefs and all of this several years back. And what I found interesting is that the way that we're raising girls in society today, we're teaching them, unfortunately, with how we're raising them, that what they're born with is what they get. Like their abilities are innate. Like there doesn't matter how hard you work at something, you might just never achieve it, which is so far from the truth. And it's such a huge limiting belief that is placed upon girls. What are some ways to push back, to work through limiting beliefs? What are some common limiting beliefs that you've seen, and how do you get people to work through them?
Yeah, some of the most common that I've seen are, you know, I can't make money, I'm not worthy of money, I'm not worthy of love, I'm not capable of being in a loving relationship. Or I also see a lot of limiting beliefs surrounding body image and confidence, almost like we're not worthy of, you know, being this beautiful, confident woman that we all can be. And yeah, the good news is these limiting beliefs can 100% be undone. However, it is hard work, especially when these beliefs have been our truths for years, sometimes even decades. And some of the exercises that I do with women around these limiting beliefs is, I mean, the first step is awareness, right? So we write out all of these beliefs that they have and discuss them. And then we really question them. Are these really true? Like with money, for example, I can't make any money. If that's your limiting belief. Okay. I ask them, is this true? Have you never made any money before? Are you incapable of making money? And they realize, well, no, that's not actually true. You know, I've made actually quite a bit of money when I did this, or this time a lot of money came my way. So you actually rewrite that limiting belief. And, you know, however you want to do it, if you want to turn that into an affirmation that you say to yourself every day, or a topic that you can journal about, just something to reinforce this new truth.
I love that. And I think automatically to teenage girls. And, you know, we've all had the experience as a teenage girl where you've got your group of friends and someone says something that's not so nice towards you or does something, and you feel like your world is falling apart. And I remember, oh my God, my poor mother. If my mom's listening, sorry, Mom. I remember coming home and being like, the world is over. I can never show my face in school again. People will talk about this forever. And in a way, that's the beginning of a limiting belief. And it's something that we see girls go through it all the time. They fall off the bike the first time. I can't do it. I can never do it again. I'm going to fall down again. And what's most important is to look. And I love what you said is, well, let's look. Is that statement really true? Do you really think you're never going to be able to go back to school again? Do you really think, have you ever heard a rumor that's gone on forever? People haven't moved on to something else. Like, let's be honest. We all know that this is going to be a little drama for a while and it'll blow over to something else. Or do you really think that if you fall off the bike the first time, you're never going to ride again? You know, share a story. I've done that. I fell off the bike and we got back up. So I love about writing that down and really thinking about it, because sometimes that's what they just need, is to be stopped from the emotional, you know, turmoil of it to, well, is that really true?
Exactly. And I mean, this exercise is great because not only can we help our girls by, you know, putting that into perspective for them and asking like, okay, is what you're going through right now, is this really true? Like you said, with the rumor or falling off the bike. But I think mothers can also use this too. You know, if they feel like they're setting a bad example for their girls in a certain way, or they know that there is a limiting belief they have that's holding them back from being the best mom or woman or employee or whatever they're showing up as, if they have something that they know is holding them back, they can use this to help themselves work through that so they can show up as the strongest, most powerful woman they can be.
Yeah. And in return, be that example, right? One of the biggest limiting beliefs that I've seen every day, and it's one that I've had to work through and I'm still working through, is that we have to choose. When you're a woman and an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. or a woman in business, we have to choose what takes priority. Is it family or is it business? And it's such a huge limiting belief. And I don't believe it's true. I believe women can have it all. I believe women are extremely talented. We're great at multitasking and we can handle it. We just can't choose to have it all at once sometimes, right? We have to make the right choices. I run a company and I want to be there for the things at school. I may not make all of them, right? And so I ask my girls, if there's an event or an activity at school that's really important for me to be there, please tell mommy and I will be there. I will make sure I am there. But if there's certain things, like I don't really need to be at book fair and chair the book fair, that's not important to you, I'm not going to do that.
Exactly. Right? Gosh, that resonates with me so much. I absolutely love that. And so true. And that's something that I struggle with as well. I mean, just because I'm a mindset coach doesn't mean that I don't have mm-hmm. these same, you know, limiting beliefs that I work through on my own. And yeah, oh my gosh, that's huge. I mean, in my life now, I definitely feel that pull from society and sometimes even in my own family to choose between the family or being the CEO of your own business, you know? And I completely agree, you can have it all. And I think personally, a lot of my stuff stems from my own childhood. Once I was 3 or 4, my mom quit her job to stay at home and raise me. And I think that sent that message from that early age that she couldn't have both. she wasn't going to be a good mom if she continued to work her job also. So that's a perfect example of how the subconscious beliefs get cemented really early on in our brains.
Right. Yeah. And I had the opposite. I had a mom who worked two or three jobs. And when I became a mom, I thought that because there were certain things that, you know, I didn't get that everyone else got. Part of it was not because my mom didn't have the time. It was, there was a cultural difference. My mother was from Spain. And so the whole concept of like room mom and baking cupcakes and being involved, like my mother didn't understand that because that's not something they did in her country. Mm-hmm. I understand that now. So I understand why she didn't do that. I had a conversation with her about, I think like 10 years ago in my 20s, where I was literally like, I think I might've had a couple glasses of wine. And I was like, you never baked cupcakes for me. And it was like this mess. And she was like, I had no idea that was important to you. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Right. So when I became a mom, I thought because I lacked that, because I thought my mom couldn't do it because of work, where it was reality was she didn't do it because she didn't think she had to do it. I thought I should only be a stay-at-home mom. And I don't want to ever say only be a stay-at-home mom, because the mothers that choose that that's what's right for them and they love that and that fulfills their heart, then go with it. But if it doesn't, that's okay. And I got very depressed with my first child, because this concept of staying home all day with her drove me mad, because I lost myself. And then I thought there was something horribly wrong with me, because I was like, I need to get away from this kid. I need to do something for me. And I thought it was so selfish at first that I wanted to work. This drive I had. I mean, I'm an entrepreneur. I'll look at anything and turn it into a business. That's just my nature. And I was only just starting to learn that when I had her. And now I see what a gift it is for me to be able to say, this is what I love to do. And I do it with no guilt anymore. And when I leave for a business trip, yes, I miss them dearly, but I'm excited for me. And I want them to see that, because I want them to have that as a choice.
Exactly. And you want your girls to go after something that lights their soul up. You want them to go after something that they're so passionate about. And how will they know to do that if mom doesn't allow herself to do that? And I mean, gosh, what you touched on about feeling so selfish because you felt that, you know, burning desire inside you to, you know, start a business or continue your business. And we feel so guilty about things like that. And we think it makes us this awful person, this awful mom, makes us so selfish because we want to have a business or even take care of ourselves. Oh my gosh, I work with so many women who feel so guilty for engaging in self-care. Or you tell them like, I really don't think you're taking care of yourself. I think that's probably a huge part of why I've got really low self-esteem, is because you don't take any time for yourself. You don't show you how much you care about you and appreciate you. And oh my gosh, you say self-care and they just like shrink back. Like, I can't do that. Like, that's not, no. I would feel so guilty. I can't be a mom and also take care of myself, or I can't be a good wife and also take care of myself. And it's like you said, you've got to realize you can have it all. And if you're not taking care of yourself, if you're not filling up your own glass, you can't pour from an empty cup, you know? And if I'm just depleting and depleting and depleting myself and not spending that time on the things that make me excited, that light me up, and just time for some rest and relaxation to replenish myself, you know, I'm not going to be showing up as a good mom or as a good spouse, as a good woman, you know?
Yeah, I love that you brought up self-care, and especially in modeling behavior, because I think that is so critical. And it's not something that I didn't really start until a few years ago. And really, I'm not as good at it as I should be. You know, I'm mm-hmm. working on it. But something that I love, and I had a conversation with someone else about this, was I think it's really important for us to model expressing our emotional vocabulary and expressing in front of our girls how we're feeling and how we're going to take care of ourselves because of what we're feeling. So the other night I was just tired, depleted. My husband was home and I just said to him, I was like, can you just put the kids to bed? Like, I didn't even have the 10 minutes in me to put them to bed. So I gave him a hug and kiss and I said, mommy's feeling really tired tonight. I've been working really hard lately. I need to go take a hot bath. And a couple of years ago, I would have felt really guilty. Like, come on, you can't spend 10 minutes to say goodnight. And no, I was done. It wasn't going to be a good thing. They can enjoy the time with their dad. And I wanted them to see, I'm tired. I'm going to go take a nice hot bath and then I'm going to go to bed early. They gave me their kiss, smile, and that's it. And they've started modeling things where they'll say, I'm really upset right now, or I'm really stressed right now. I need to go to my room. Or they know when I'm stressed. They know when mom's stressed, they come and they look in my closet. Because usually that's where I'm sitting. And so there have been days where I've been a little stressed or frazzled with them where I'm like, I need 5 minutes. Mommy needs 5 minutes away. Please keep an eye on your sister. She doesn't flush something down the toilet. And I'll be in my closet. And my husband will come home and they'll be like, Mom's in the closet. And he'll come in with a glass of wine. And but they get it, but they start modeling it now. It's crazy. When my youngest was two, she would, you know, she didn't have a whole lot of language, good language. She'd say, I'm mad. I go to my room. And it's not that I send them to her room. She went in there, sat in her chair and read her books. And then she came back out and I was like, holy smokes.
And that's awesome though. Yeah, I mean, that's amazing.
You know, so if you know, my advice to moms is if you have a hard time doing the self-care because of whatever, and I know it's hard to put yourself first, then do it as an exercise to show it to her.
100% yes. God, I cannot agree with that enough. Do it in front of your children to show them that they are worth it, you know, that they should be putting themselves first sometimes. And that's going to build so much confidence and self-esteem for them. In my opinion, anyways.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, that resonates so much. And it's so important and powerful to remember. Thank you so much, Amanda Lynn. This was such a great conversation. And you gave us so many helpful tips. To find out more about Amanda Lynn, you can find her at mindsetmavencoaching.com. To hear the rest of this interview, as we further explore the concept of mirroring behavior and mindset, we also discuss how to teach girls to look at failures as pivot points of success. We discuss girl cliques and drama and how to empower them to get out of drama's way. We talk about eating disorders, labeling of names, and more. Please join our community at raisingapowerfulgirl.com. We look forward to seeing you there.
You are a leader and a role model to developing girls. Whether you're raising a daughter or you work with girls on a daily basis, you see the incredible potential they have to make a difference in this world. You know the change we need is going to come from them, and you want to make sure they grow up to be independent leaders with a strong sense of personal identity, because these are the traits that make a powerful girl. So come join our community and education platform at raisingapowerfulgirl.com and become a part of our movement to educate, inspire, and cultivate a generation of powerful girls with eye-opening discussions and facts, exercises, and tangible calls to action. We can't wait to see you there.
Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is it so hard to make a buck? I know I have. Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. What I have discovered after going from the brink of bankruptcy to running a multi-million dollar award-winning business is this. You can't build a million-dollar dream hanging around minimum wage mindsets. My mission is 1 million women entrepreneurs generating $1 million in annual revenue. So here's what I've done. I've created the mother of all entrepreneur success programs that you can access online on your time. It's called Monetize Me Now. It's a 7-module online course that is 100% my success formula, covering mindset, mission, management, motivation, marketing, and measure. Come on, take my hand and I'll show you the way to learn to earn flowing revenue for your business. Visit monetizemenow.com for details.
Thanks for joining us. This is the EWN Podcast Network.